Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Uh-oh, got a little bark drama going on here. This is your fill-in co-host or host, Dave Atwell, going on. Dr. John is on assignment, out in parts unknown. Probably a good spot for him. But looks like we got a good night, a little windy out here. So if we're getting a little feedback, if somebody would please send me a message because the wind is a-blowing out there. So to go around and introduce our esteemed panel, Granny Hulkster, how are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm well, thank you. So hanging in there.
Outstanding. Good to hear you're doing well. Velvet, how are you doing this evening?
I'm here. I'm hanging. I'm actually glad to be here. I missed a few weeks. I enjoy this podcast very much. So I'm here. And Dr. John's probably on a UFO somewhere, so we're good.
Yeah, he's been
snatched
up by aliens.
My bad, I gave it away. I gave it away, my bad. Whoop.
You knew it was just a matter
of
time.
Right. The mothership came back. I've been praying, please come pick him back up. Y'all left him here. Come on, help us out.
There was that triangular shaped one that the Navy approved of the other day, and I'm like, man, these things are becoming a little more often. I wonder if they're here looking for John, you know?
John is
no
good
enough.
So,
sorry, I got another buddy that's way
here. You got the wind blowing at your house too, Todd. How's it going with you this evening?
Hey, I'm outstanding to supernatural, ecstatic to be here and looking at 19-mile-an-hour baseline winds before the gusts. It's anybody out there on the water tonight, it's blowing a gale, just saying. And I do mean G-A-L-E, just to be clear.
Yep, there is a difference, right? So, not last but not least, rejoining us after a little hiatus. Good to have you back. Tim, Indianapolis, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. Yeah, it's been a few weeks for me as well. I'm back from California, and y'all just missed the winter wonderland by about, I don't know, it was this morning, last night and this morning. We had a crazy snow late in April, and it was cool because all the, you know, the leaves are sprouting and everything, and it's totally green. And then you put snow on top of it, and it's honestly, it's beautiful. I hadn't really seen
Tim,
it.
We did too. It snowed about here 2 hours here in Springdale, Arkansas yesterday, and we had maybe an inch and a half. It was big, giant, fluffy snowflakes. The ground got covered. Snowed for a couple hours, quit. And then an hour, all the snow was gone.
Yeah, no, we had several inches, and it stayed overnight. And this morning, like I said, it was just weird how there was more snow than usual packed in the trees because now it was sitting on leaves too. So it was pretty cool, but we're going to warm back up hopefully by next week. That's your weather report. Looking forward to a good show, and that's that.
Outstanding. Well, good to hear everybody dug their way out because I know it's supposed to be down in the 30s. The next two nights here, Eastern North Carolina. So up yours, Greta. It's cold, and it's damn near May. So,
I got to go. My tomato plants are in the big patio pots. I just got two of them. Those I already took inside. I wasn't even going to take the chances on leaving them underneath the carport and bagged over, stuff like that. It just, no way. Because I got blossoms on the tomato plants already.
Yeah,
so I ain't playing.
It doesn't hurt to pick them up. It only takes a second to pick them up and, you know, tote them to a canopy or, you know, get them inside or something. It sure beats the daylights out of having to run to Lowe's and dump another X amount of dollars on replacing mama's plants. So, yeah, ain't a bad idea. But this wind is whipping up pretty good. I had full intentions of lighting up the burn pile while we were doing the show tonight, but I will not be doing that because Smokey the Bear taught me a little better. But
Yeah, I think not.
So, after 5 minutes worth of weather talk, I'll go ahead and say that we have absolutely no plan tonight, no topic. That's how prepared we are, boys and girls, out there in listener land. So, what we're going to do is something called wing it. Like
hey,
I've been doing.
But see, that's, Dave, that's a good thing about this group of people. We're so good at winging it most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can,
no
we
doubt.
Can diversify.
Granny's on it.
Adapt and
diversify
overcome.
Your balls.
Now, I'll crack open a quick topic. We don't have to spend an hour and a half speaking on this, for crying out loud. But do any of you guys have bifocals by chance?
I do. I have the no-line bifocals.
Okay.
Here.
That's what I just got, the no-line bifocals. And I am having the worst time getting used to those things. I mean, I'm trying. I'm legitimately trying. I guess I'm one of these guys who shifts his eyes but doesn't move his head because I find myself having to move my head around like a damn owl trying to get the vision right on these
That's
things.
Funny.
But I am having one hell of a time getting adjusted. And the first day wearing these things, I had had that bubble vision, like I was through a fishbowl or something. And, God, the frames are fantastic. And Lord knows my other glasses, you know, Todd seen them. They were a 15-year-old pair of glasses. They were hanging on for dear life. But these things are so damn hard to get used to. But at least I made it. It's funny. You know, for those of y'all who listen to the show regularly, you know last year when I turned the ripe old age of 50, as a matter of fact, this Sunday I'll be 51. And
youngin'.
Yeah, I hear you. It's all about the knees. But going up to 50,
yes,
I kept saying, if I could just make it to 50 with nothing going wrong. And then I hit 50, and now I walk around going, well, let's wait and see what goes wrong. Like you're on the opposite end of the stick now, you know. And when I went to the eye doctor
That's
and they
funny.
Said I had to get bifocals, I was thinking, it was like, yep, there we go, to colonoscopy and
Here's
beyond.
The beginning.
We're beginning.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, those no-line bifocals do take a while getting used to. They just do. It's I think just wearing glasses with bifocals, line or no line.
Yeah.
But those, there's...
I like to call them specs.
Just the way it is.
Spectacles.
But, with all that being said, enough on the Dave's eyes portion of the show this evening. So, I'll throw a little something out there we can pick up on. Rob today has been in here playing Mortal Kombat, and I'm sure we're all long enough in the tooth to have played that game or seen somebody play it once or twice. This new Mortal Kombat, or it's not new, it's been out for a little bit, but it is absolutely insane. And for a guy who used to play that game regularly, I can't do it anymore. I don't know if my reflex standard has dropped or if you just got to be a damn octopus to get these moves off. But if you look at these games now, it is absolutely insane what they can do. And the amount of coordination that it takes to play these things now. I mean, I thought I was the man when I was able to shoot down, a wave of aliens on Space Invaders. I ain't got nothing on it. But, of course, I played without a pause button. Makes me a man. But these video games are insane now. I mean, crazy good. So I've been enjoying the gore.
I had a couple things on that.
Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
Hey, the youngins definitely have those little quicker fingers and stuff like that. That's why the competitive players, you don't see a lot of octogenarians amongst them. There's that. But, you know, I get that the graphics engines are far more evolved than they were back in the day. But I really don't see the imagination that was used like some of those old DOS games and such. Yep. And I know I'm seriously dating myself referencing DOS games. But these, I think there's a lot of that. I mean, you can have multiple variations of the same game out there now, and they're all using the exact same graphics engine. They just tweak the storyline a wee bit, you know, the whether it's Medal of Honor, Call of Duty, all that kind of stuff. It just, I see them as so overwhelmingly similar. But I suppose some people see that with some of our old games as well. I mean, you know,
yeah,
Asteroid.
Man, there were a lot of them that were just run, jump, and shoot. And that's why I always got into the sports games. Because, and I had a Nintendo, so... But I would always get I didn't want the run, jump, and shoot games. They were all the same thing, just, you know, slightly different pictures. And it was just, you know, run across the screen. But the sports games, they all kind of varied a little bit. So I can kind of see what you just said. There's an argument to be had that some of those older games did the same thing.
Yeah, I remember rolling over. And that used to be the thing. Nowadays, they've got game endings and all that kind of nifty stuff. But back in the Atari days, you had something called rolled over the score. So, in other words, the max score would be, you know, 99,999, and it would zip back to zero. And that used to be the trophy thing. Hey, I rolled over Space Invaders. When the Pac-Man came out,
Galaga
for Atari, everybody was, you know, hey, we're getting Pac-Man for Atari, hot damn, you know. And then it came out, and it was a fraction of the real thing. But nevertheless, you know, we still played it. And I sat down one evening and actually rolled the score over on that Atari Pac-Man. And it's probably the closest I've ever come to having a seizure in my life. But the amount of endurance that it took beyond the coordination and everything else, the ability to sit there and, you know, because there was no pause button, nothing like that. You had to sit there and constantly play. You know, you couldn't pee. You couldn't sneeze. You couldn't do any of that stuff. And, you know, so there was a competitive, or not a competitive, but there was a certain amount of technique or whatever that it took to play those games back in the day. But I'll agree with you about the sports games, because I know like Mario and those, my brother used to be able to play Mario like a madman. Me, I just could not, that side scrolling jump stuff, I just could not, couldn't get into it. And but you give me a sports game, I was all over it. Blades of Steel.
Yep.
Techno
yep.
Bowl, all those old
yep.
NES games. Even the old Mike Tyson Punch-Out was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And I had Baseball Stars. That was a good one. You could make your own team and work on individual players. That was cool.
Yeah. And what was the basketball?
There were a bunch.
Double Dribble.
Yep, Double Dribble.
Like they would call
that
today.
Yeah, Double Dribble was excellent.
Yeah, I had that. That was really cool, because you could, if you approach just right, it would do a close up, and there would be like three pictures of the guy doing a slam dunk, and there were about two or three different ones. But if you got to the basket just right and hit the button, the timing had to be perfect, and you could get the guy to go up and do a slam dunk. That was cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in Double Dribble, yeah. If you go up there, there were about two or three different slam dunks, and it wasn't like a video. It would be like three pictures of him in motion, and the last one would be him dunking the basketball.
Oh, no kidding. I actually have all of my old game systems, and we were going to build a gaming deck this past, you know, this coming up summer. That was me and Rob's big summer plan. But now with the price of lumber going through the roof. By the way, in the event that anybody out there is listening, I do have one sheet of ply board, three-quarter ply, and I'm willing to trade it for a 2015 or later Corvette. Serious inquiries only. So,
good to know.
But I was going to buy a handful of those upscalers and build a gaming deck and put the Super Nintendo, the 64, the PlayStation, and all that jazz.
Hey, man. You forgot the best game of all time.
What's that?
Donkey Kong, baby.
Do what?
Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong.
It created its own expression. It sounded like Donkey Kong. Come on.
I didn't say midget porn, okay? Come on. Hey, y'all got to stop with that.
I don't think you can say Donkey Kong and midget porn in the same sentence, can you?
Oh,
is that allowed?
Bad. No.
I think you just did, but, you know. When...
Yeah, I
Donkey
think
Kong
that's logistically acceptable.
On to something, let's kind of run through, hit a few of the games that cause some nostalgia. What say y'all?
Galaga.
Sounds good. Yeah.
There's a game go ahead. There was a game that never made it to any game console at home that you could only play in the arcade. I cannot find one. I've been looking for one for 20 years. It had a combination of everything. It had a combination of Space Invaders, Galaxian, and another game. And it was called GORF, G-O-R-F. That game was
really
cool. Yeah. It's like five games in one. But you played each round. Like, you started with, like, Space Invaders, and then you moved on to something else, and then you had something like Galaxian, and then you had something else. And then you had to kill this huge ship, but you had to tear it apart while things are flying at you. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. How do I do this? And, you had to figure it out, you know. And you'd get killed every time until you figured out, oh, you got to hit the belly of it and break the belly loose, and then it'll blow up. I was the first one to figure it out. I was the first one of all my friends to figure out how to kill it. And they went crazy when I killed it. Yeah, it was cool. But look that up. It's a cool
game. Yeah, I don't look that one up. I've never heard of that one.
It's a very cool game. It was only out, I would say, 83 or 84 it came out. Don't quote me on that. I'm thinking that's what, because Pac-Man came out in 80 and 81, then Donkey Kong, then Galaga and Galaxians and Galaga, and then Tempest.
It was shape based, if you will.
Right, and you had to spin around it and kill all the little things flying at you. Yeah, the little stars they were throwing at you. Yeah,
well,
that was cool. Yes, sir. But yeah.
Yeah, now my brother, one of these nights, I got to get my brother on the show because this knucklehead, he's got, he's deep in the comic books and the movies and all that jazz. But nevertheless, years ago, he started, he bought a secondhand hard drive, like a computer tower, and started downloading a bunch of classic video games. So what he did is that he went and over a matter of time, and that's the thing I got to hand him, he's got patience. I'm one of those guys that don't piece things together. I want it want it now, I want it right, and I move on, whereas he's one of these patient buyers that finds the stuff and, you know, puts it together over amount of time. But nevertheless, he, when I was heading up that way, when he got the whole thing completed, he says, you got to see this thing that I built. And my brother was never a handy guy when we were kids. I was always the one, you know, with the tool time, whereas he was the one that was less than inclined with the tools and everything. So I got up there to his house and go down there in his den, and this guy had built an actual arcade cabinet. And on the deck, he had a rollerball, a Tron trigger, a joystick, and a paddle.
Shut the front door.
And it was all side by side. Down there, he even had quarter slots on this thing, but he had the quarter slots where if you press the quarter slot, it would bring up on the screen the menu off of the hard drive of all the different games that he had on there. And he had all of the, you know, Galaga, Donkey Kong. So one of the games he had on there was Gauntlet.
Oh, and, yeah, I forgot about that one.
And me, him, and his oldest son sat up, I bet, till daylight, playing that thing, trying to roll it out. Because you remember Gauntlet had, like, infinite levels, or it was said nobody ever ever able to find out what the last level was. But we sat up all night. You know, don't shoot the potion.
Right. That's not right. That sounds like what we did when Joust came out. We did the same thing. Tried to beat that in one night.
You know what? That reminds me.
Everything on there. I mean, I was amazed at how well put together he had on that thing. Because, I mean, it looked like a legitimate arcade game. And, I mean, he even had Dragon's Lair and all that kind of stuff on there, too.
Oh, wow.
Which is another game that I could never get my arms around. It was fun to watch.
That was a quarter eater for me. That was a quarter eater for me, boy. I just get the same one, and I knew what I had to do. I always botched it. But another quarter.
That reminds me of how I spent a holiday one day, and it comes back to something else I wanted to point out, like a difference between some of the games of the past and how they have it now. And, you know, I guess in both, you know, there's multiple generations where you could spend hours and hours playing. But, man, I'll tell you what was frustrating back in the day is if you died, like you had a certain amount of lives, and if you died, some of those games, you went clear back to the beginning. I mean, talk about rage quit making you want to throw your controller. And nowadays, especially if you got two players, well, you don't. I mean, like if one of you dies, then you're not doing one of these rooms, you know, like Black Ops stuff or whatever. But if you're doing the campaign, they call it, you know, where you try to go through the entire game, you don't. I mean, if you're playing two player, one of you dies, the other one just gets to a safe spot and the dude respawns, and you just keep going.
That's Donkey Kong Country. Donkey Kong Country, the same way.
I remember
Super
when
Nintendo.
Rob whipped on. He whipped out the term respawn on me one time, and I said, respawn? I says, what are we, goddamn salmon? And he looked at me like I'm nuts, and he goes, no, we start over. I said, I just died. How many lives do I got? He goes, you don't get lives. Huh. The hell I don't.
Yeah, so about,
like, no.
It's been a minute now. It's probably been about 15, 16, probably even more years than that, but let's put it this way. I wasn't even 30 yet. So it's been quite a long time ago, but my brother and I, we happened to both be over at my mom's house on a, it wasn't Memorial Day, it was Labor Day. And we, like in the morning, we were both there. And we started playing Halo. And I think it was the first one. So we were playing multiplayer, campaign, we're thinking, yeah, we'll play this for a couple hours. Let's see how far we get. I worked in a hospital at the time overnight. So I didn't have a day off. I was third shift, so I'm supposed to be asleep. But it was a holiday, and we're there, so we're playing, and we kept going. We got to we ended up one of the levels. We ended at it, and we're like, well, you want to keep going and do one more? I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. We ended up finishing the entire game, and it was 10:30 at night. And when we were done, I basically took my ass to work and worked the entire night. But we stayed on and played because we didn't die. For a multiplayer, you don't die. You just keep going. So it's like crack. I mean, good God.
Yeah,
yeah, back in the day, you had
yeah.
lives, and if you died, you died. And I had, there was a really cool game that I loved, and it was later on, I think it was for a Sega Genesis, and it was Terminator. And I was all into the Terminator movies, you know, and so this was another one of those run, jump, and shoot, but I was into it. Well, this son-of-a-bitch game, I don't think you even had more than one chance. If you died, you went clear back to the beginning of the game. Like, you started all over. There was no, hey, you completed this level, so you go back this far. It, when you're done, you're done. But anyway, just thought I'd share my little story.
You just had one life on that game?
On Terminator? I think so.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but
it's true. I was a sports nut too, and when the first Madden started coming out, and then you know, they came out every other year, and then they came out every year, I got hooked on that.
Yeah.
And then I also got hooked on NHL hockey for the regular PlayStation, the original one. Hockey, man, let me tell you something. I played the heck out of hockey. I burnt that disc up. I put it in one day, and it goes, error. It wouldn't play no more. I played it so much.
What game system was it for?
Oh, the original PlayStation, the first PlayStation that came out, PlayStation 1.
You know what? I had that happen to an Xbox, and everybody was wanting to pitch all the games I had because they weren't playing, and it was, you know, getting an error, so everyone thought the games were scratched. I got a disc cleaner and put it in the Xbox, and I'll be damned if those SOBs didn't work again.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the funny thing was I had a buddy that would get illegal Japanese games sent over from Japan. So he was playing, like, all those crazy Street Fighter kind of looking games with all these Japanese characters. And then he had a burner. He says, hey, what game do you want? I said, well, there's a couple, you know, a football game and a hockey game and this and that. He goes, go rent it from the Blockbuster and bring it over to the house. He goes, I'll have it burn on another disc for you in about 10 minutes. So I go rent the games I wanted. He'd burn them. I have them, and I didn't. I only paid rental fee. And we did some crazy stuff now.
Nice.
But he was super smart. I mean, this cat knew how to get around all that stuff. And I said, "How are you going to get past the code? Because you know they put codes on them things. Because watch this, it puts it in the machine. It flipped around numbers, and then it spit all these numbers out, and then it came on. And I was like, he goes, now I'm going to burn it. I went, wow, you're nuts. I said, okay.
Yeah.
Nice knowing you. When they come find you, you go to jail.
I remember back in the day, I guess it would have been in the 80s, somebody got, I think he finally got caught, but what he was doing is, you know, the original Nintendo cartridges, he was going into to the rental stores and getting, you know, and renting them or whatever. He would take them home, and then he would pull out the internal, like, the card in there and swap it. And then take, you know, the old one back, and then, boom, he's got a new game. And I don't know.
Wow.
I think, like, obviously, if it made the news, then I'm sure he eventually got caught. But,
mean,
for back in the day, that's freaking genius right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, because they didn't have weren't thinking long term, you know, about safeguarding stuff. And then, you know, as the game systems grew and the games grew, they were like, whoa, people can steal this. We need to put a safeguard on there or something. They figured that out, I think, when the third PlayStation came out. And the new Xbox came out at that time, too. So it's like, we need to safeguard these things. Who remembers the Dreamcast?
Yeah.
You ever have that?
It was one of those that I did not have it, but I heard of it. And it fizzled out, though, didn't it? I mean, it definitely didn't get as popular.
Yeah. No, but the football game, I had Dante Culpepper and Randy Moss. All I did was run a streak. Nobody could catch him. You just throw the ball up, he catches it, touchdown every time. I said, well, that's no fun. I said, well, I can beat everybody, so forget it. Don't run the ball. I'm going to just throw it to Moss, touchdown. It's over. Yeah, it fizzled out because the games were not compatible to Genesis or to the PlayStation. So, you know, they didn't have the same kind of play feature and lookability to it, so they kind of went, you know.
Yeah,
I
won't throw the conversation way off, but I took a really interesting class on innovation and stuff when I was getting my master's, and there's all kinds of cool info. We've researched a lot about video game history and why some things failed to go that far in the market,
right.
You know, and there's all kinds of factors. But anyway, that's a whole different
Yeah, we'll do that later. Yeah, that's cool. But that's still cool because, you know, I mean, everybody tries to steal something. They try to steal your phone number. They try to steal this. They try to steal that. And they had to really safeguard the gaming systems. And a lot of people when you play online, you're at risk. You play Halo, you play Call of Duty, you're at risk if you're playing people online because a lot of people get their stuff stolen that way. Because if you link anything to your PlayStation, like people buy games online, and they got your info, and you're done. That's why I don't do that. I got nothing linked to my game system, not at all. Not even my phone. I seen this dude. He's like, "Hey, man, you got this game?" I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, that's my Xbox One. That's my PS5. I got all these games on them already, and I can access it from my phone." I said, "Yeah, okay, good luck with that." Nope. Not doing it.
It's craziness.
Go, Todd, go.
But something that some of this made me think about, it's, you know, growing up, you would go in wherever. Some of the early arcades, there were a ton of pinball machines, some, you know, skee ball, stuff like that. And then when these little games came out, there was one or two or three here, you know, just spaced throughout. And then it almost got to the point with the arcades, try to find a friggin' pinball machine.
Yeah.
And,
go ahead.
It quit being all the stand-up consoles, too. You could go places, and they had the sit-down consoles, not just
the tabletop.
You know, just the Star Wars where you were sitting down inside it and flying and that kind of stuff.
No, right.
But they
tabletop.
Had the little stool, little tabletop type thing. It was, what a trip. They changed something furious.
Who remembers here they had them in I keep getting, at the bowling alleys here, they had these gambling machines. You had to be 18 to play them, and it was like doing bingo, but they had these balls, and you pulled the thing, and these balls came out, and they fell into the hole, and you could slide the numbers it looked like a pinball machine, but it wasn't. And I remember this dude, he played it the entire time I was doing a league bowling. He walked out of the bowling alley with $500. I said, "Hold up now, how'd you do that?" He goes, "How old are you, kid?" I said, "I'm only 17. He goes, "Yeah, you can't play it until you turn 18. You have to have ID. I said, what's the thing? He goes, "It's like bingo and something else," he said. He goes, "And you can move these things on in the back panel with a couple of controls, and there's no flippers or anything, but you try to get them in the right spot and move the numbers around." And he goes, "And then you can win money." He goes, "I win all the time here because I know how to do it." I said, "Man, you got to teach me how to do it. I need some money." Anybody remember that?
Not those, but it does remind me a little bit of pachinko.
Right. It was like that, too, but it just was – it was weird to see. You know, people sat there all day long smoking their cigarettes and drinking a beer, you know, playing these games, pumping money in it like it was no tomorrow. You know, then they get a ticket printed, and they go and get, like, $100, and they come out and get that in quarters and go right back at it. I'm like, y'all are nuts, man. It's like that was like the lottery back in the 80s, you know, the late 70s, early 80s. And it ran all the way till about 1994 here, and then they pulled them all out of the – because they brought in the poker machines at that point, you know, the digital poker machines. So –
Yeah, boo.
That's what that was.
I can't stand playing digital poker.
Nah, it was stupid. I'm like, whatever. I never played it because I'm like, I'm not wasting my money. I'm not going to sit here and this thing's rigged to take my money. I'm not doing that.
So, you know, I can tell you, and I'm probably not exactly what you were talking about, but I'll tell you one thing kind of relating to that. You know, like you go to Vegas, obviously you got live dealers. I think they've switched back, like, to where in Indiana they have live dealers too. But they used to, they got in this kick where they had electronic tables. So you'd have people sitting around this table, and you had to cup your hands just right. And then, I mean, you were looking at a screen on the table for you.
Right.
Hands, and then the cards would flip up so you could see them. But I'm going to tell you,
right,
not only do you lose trust because now you're relying on just some computer program to deal the cards out, but there were people that would mess up, and they would accidentally, like, call a bet or something. And they meant to fold or the other way around. They meant to fold they've actually folded, but they meant to call because they've got, you know, great cards, whatever. So, yeah, it's just I stopped playing. I stopped going to casinos and playing because they did that. So, terrible idea.
Yeah, right. Absolutely agree.
Yeah, they probably tried to get rid, cut down manpower or whatever, invest X amount in the game.
Yeah.
And
yep. Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
And another thing, digital program games, they program it. So they know what's happening. It ain't a chance, it ain't a luck thing. It's you're just giving your money away for free, you might as well ride down the road and throw it out the window.
Yeah, there's no way
good
they're programming them to lose money on their end.
Yeah, they actually do have.
I'm sure there was a law they had to do X amount of money per month on whatever, but they didn't have to do it all the time, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure somewhere that, you know, if they made, you know, if the percentage of wins or something went over a certain rate, it would be an issue.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I'd be willing to bet there's a sweet spot. You know, I'd be willing to bet there's a percentage where there's a sweet spot to where the casino's still making money, but you can't, if the machines are all losing, people are going to figure that out. You know, people know where to go and where not to go. And it is for that reason. I was going to say, I went to school with the kid, he's not a kid anymore, but that's what he does. He programs those machines. And they do make them, you know, obviously they can set them to a percentage of payout. So obviously they don't want to make it so short that, you know, people aren't going to win. They want to win it a little bit because that's how they keep coming back, but yet they want the casino to still bank off of it.
Oh, yeah, they're not in it to lose.
Nah. If you guys remember, there's that scene on Casino when De Niro started chewing at one guy's tail and said, somebody's hit on that machine twice in an hour. When was the last time you calibrated these things? And that was the guy that he fired that was connected with the governor or whatever. So, yeah, I imagine there's some of, you know, speaking computers would be algorithm, but I'm sure it's something in the gearing when it comes down. Well, of course, if it did be in digital, it would be the same thing. But, yeah, I would imagine there's something where so many turns, it coughs something up. And that's why when they talk about hot machines, if you see, so that's the old thing they used to always say about going to Vegas, is if you see somebody win on a row, in other words, if someone, if somebody hit a fair amount of cash, don't play that row. Go.
It is possible he dropped again. His connection is.
Oh boy! Wow. But
way
no,
to leave us
hanging,
babe.
They did do that. They was hanging, but no, they did. They did do that, and you were right. That was the thing. Don't play that row. Don't go near that. Move on.
So that reminds me of another little, I'll say a sidebar topic that, you know, I won't derail us too far, but something else cool I saw on TV. Anybody know that show where that guy I can't remember what the show was called. It had a simple name, but basically all he did was he cut stuff in half so you could see how it worked. And he compared a slot machine from years and years ago to a slot machine the way it is now, like how it's all electronic inside everything. But the cool thing was the really, really old ones that literally just worked on a crap ton of gears and everything and switches and gizmos inside, he looked and he could point out the little notches, and there was a way that they could set it so that it would never hit on a certain combination. It was really pretty interesting. It's been a long time since I saw that, though. I don't know if you guys know what show I'm talking about.
Cheetah! Cheetah, take my money! What's the safety word? Tree rat! Tree rat!
It's the safety word, Jerry B. Drop coal. I apologize for just disappearing. I don't know what is going on, but I have gotten
wind?
Dropped coal. Maybe that's what it is.
The wind.
It's crazy.
The wind.
So if I suddenly disappear, y'all keep right on going. You don't need
sure,
me.
Sure, why not?
At 10:30,
yes,
I'll just go
do.
And cut it off, you know.
No, right. We're all
we,
going
we
to wait in silence until you get back.
But we'll just sit here and go dead air.
Yeah. Bueller.
Yep, right. Ah, that's funny. Oh, God. I think he's sick or something.
Yeah.
I think he's dying.
I think he's dying, yeah. Well, actually, it was my grandmother. I tell you what, you bring her dead body in here, and I'll get you.
I love that.
That's another one of those films that when you watch it as a teenager, you think Ferris Bueller is the coolest guy on the planet, and then when you watch it as an adult, you're going, that little prick needs to be straight.
Right? Right? You're in love. It is so funny. God, Lord, have mercy.
Oh,
that is good stuff.
But, yeah, talking about those games, man, it's a lot of those games, though, man, you can find yourself losing part of your life to those things, because some of them now actually have a timer on them where they keep up with the amount of time you've put in playing, and it's vulgar sometimes because you don't pay any mind to it. But, you know, every now and then you'll stop and you'll look, and they're like, there's no way. And it'll say, you know, 167. You're going, 167. So I've played for, you know, 6 solid days on this damn thing. So,
I played for 48 hours straight. I need Red Bull. Help me.
There's that. I don't know. Man, I got a couple old. I kind of want to go back to some of those games, the early games. So there's a couple I can't remember the name of the one. It's killing me. But, like, some of the old original Gothic games, like Space Empires when it first came out, really simple early strategy games, stuff like that. There was another one. I almost texted a guy during the show to see if he'd remember it. It was kind of
combat.
Cool. It had all these references, like, so your spaceship, I mean, you were out there, you were harvesting, you know, like an old asteroid would be out there or whatever, and you could harvest it. You would have these scoops that would take the minerals and stuff off of it, and you'd go to these places to sell, you know, and you'd sell things, and there was all this stuff, and the battery for the extended, you know, to help extend your range and all that, it had a copper top. So, you know, so it would make the references, stuff like that, that were pretty cool. I think I always like more, mostly I think I like the strategy games, although I damn sure had a lot of fun with Duck Hunt, just saying. Not so much a strategy game, but it was a lot of fun because that dog would let you know if you missed.
Todd, you talk about strategy games. One of my, actually what makes me think of, one of my favorite games, and might have been you that I was talking to on the phone the other day about this, but there was a game on the PC, and it was Age of Empires. And I had, which was the second one, it was called Age of Kings. Boy, I would get addicted to that. And it was kind of the same thing Todd's talking about where, I mean, you had different settings you could put it on, but basically you would grow crops. You would go harvest, I think it was gold, and, you know, you could go pick berries off of bushes, but you had to get all this stuff in order to build different buildings, and, you know, you would build your army. You'd have villagers to, you know, harvest things, build things, whatever. But I could spend hours on that game. That and Roller Coaster Tycoon, hours. And nowadays, here's another difference for you, is now they have all these, that the whole thing is, And I can't think of the term. There's a term for it. Is it real-time something? Maybe not. I don't know. But they've made a bunch of free games like that, you know, that you can get off the, you know, online or on your phone, whatever, download them. But it's stupid because their whole thing now is you get the free game, but if you want to be any good at it, you got to buy, you know, add-ons to different plugins for it. That's just a pain in the butt, man. This was the original cool game, and when I upgraded to Windows 10, I lost it. It became, like, not compatible. So upset.
Oh, that's horrible, dude. Some of the stuff on Steam, there's some of the ones out there like that. I like Rome Total War.
Yeah.
The Total War series, I kind of like those.
Well,
some of those are pretty awesome.
The Sid Meier's games. Talk about the strategies. Sid Meier's Civilization. And if you had the ability to get your hands on Sid Meier's Pirates, that had to have been one of the greatest games. They actually came out with that for the Nintendo Wii, and it was kind of an updated version. And, man, you want to talk about addicting because, you know, you sail under different colors, and you had the Dutch, the French, the Spanish, and English, and you had to go raid towns where you could set up the town as, like, your home.
My nephew had that game up, and I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Watch this." Yeah,
dude, you'd have boat fight,
cool.
Sword fight. God, that game was a blast. But there was a certain amount of strategy to it. You just couldn't go in there shooting things up because if the French were at peace with the Dutch and you shot up a Dutch town or you raided one,
they were coming.
Yeah, you pissed the French and the Dutch off. Whereas if you were French and the scenery could change at any given moment, but you could be sailing towards a Spanish town to pick up supplies, and you'd see a little thing across the bottom, Spanish now at war with the French. And I mean the French or that Spanish fort would just open fire on your boat. You weren't even ready for it, you know. But that was an absolutely epic game. That game just doesn't get old. I used to play that on the PC.
The variations of Civilization, that was something I had meant to bring up. I think Tim had touched on some of the Tycoon games. I'd want to do this before I forget. Zoo Tycoon was a household game.
Yeah, dude.
Ooh, I haven't played that one.
Oh, that one's a blast.
And it was kind of cool because that was definitely a learning game.
Yeah. Taught you how to manage, how to operate things, you know, how to save your money, spend your money. Of course, if you were like me, you built this big zoo and then you knocked out a wall and all of your tiger and lion cages and just let them maul all the...
Yeah.
Sooner or later, or you let the dinosaurs loose,
man,
because some of the versions had them. But
I was
going to
say that. I was the sadistic little turd that in Roller Coaster Tycoon, you had the one roller coaster that would basically start off from the ground, go through a loop, and then go up an incline and then fall back. And you could set it to where it would go so fast that it would fly off the track, and then it would tell you how many people died.
Come on now.
Good stuff.
Oh, my God.
That was like Grand Theft Auto. I gave up actually playing that. I would just go around and carjack stuff.
Free play, right? I'd carjack people, run them over, shoot the cops. I didn't care. I was the same way. Give me that car. It's mine. Yeah,
I mean, you come over.
That game's okay, but there's issues with Yosemite Sam. Oy vey.
Right? I can shoot the hooker walking down the street or run her ass over.
But you know what was so great about that game is that you could come home from work just mad at the world, sit down and carjack for about 45 minutes, and then you just go
and
back
happy.
To your vanilla self. Yeah, you go out and mow the yard and, you know, talk to the neighbors, and you're right back to being your normal self. But you got that little,
right?
you know, sitting there shooting
a
the
buddy
hot dog
mine.
Vendors from,
yep.
you know, climb
oh,
up
yeah.
on a building and snipe the hot dog
yep.
vendors and everything. And
right.
It didn't take long, and you got it out of your system, and you just went on back to being a human being.
Exactly. But the best thing about that, it had free play, so you just roam and do whatever you want to do anyway.
Yeah,
You didn't have to play any missions. You didn't have to, you could just ride around the whole thing and just like, hey, I want to do that. I remember playing one of them. Go ahead.
No, I would just ram the cars. I would get up full speed and try to at least ways get my car. Yeah, get to a busy intersection, ram something
just enough
to catch the hood of my car on fire. Yeah, and then get out and run like hell and then watch like 20 cars blow up.
Yep.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Yeah, it was fun.
Sure,
it was fun, that's for sure. Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you.
Granny,
sir,
you're awful quiet.
Come on, Granny.
I've been studying. Been sitting here listening to you all chat. You know, I wasn't never a big video game person. I mean, I, you know, as a kid, you know, I just didn't really play them much, you know, but so I've just been sitting here
never
enjoying
played
the
any
conversation.
Games. Come on now, Granny Hawksters.
No, honestly, I didn't. I mean, if I played a video game, I like the Mahjong games, the tiles where you match up the tiles, you know, the puzzle games, you know.
Yep.
Nice.
I didn't even do, you know, now my son loves to play video games. I mean, he's 34 years old and he still loves to play video games.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm 53.
Let me ask a question, Graham. What is the first home gaming platform that you knew anybody that anybody had? Let's do some reach back.
Ooh.
You know, there was somebody somewhere that had that
Ooh.
First gaming platform at home. What do you remember the name of it, if possible, and maybe a game or
well,
two?
Well, back in the day when I was younger, it would probably have been Atari. I mean, you know.
I got one before that. Pick me.
I got one before that too. Go ahead.
ColecoVision.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go back before that. Odyssey.
Pong. Oh, that's right. Odyssey.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Basically.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Odyssey. I forgot about Odyssey.
Yeah, I did too.
That's
what's gaming
very good.
System that my the first gaming system that my son ever had. Would have been a Nintendo, and then, you know, he eventually got an Xbox, one of those Xbox cube game systems, and somebody broke into my house one day while I was at work and stole it, so.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
now, I had an RCA. Todd, I don't always remember the RCA one. It had two games, and it was Pong. And Blackjack.
Yes, sir.
And you had two panels on it. You put the cartridge in the middle, but it had a panel on the left, panel on the right, and they looked like a touch style phone. And you would control up and down with the 2 and the 8. Man, I would sit there for hours. Me and my brother just sitting there going boink, boink, boink.
Right.
And, I mean, you look at that now, and that's the way they get people to confess. You know what I mean?
Right. Don't need to waterboard me. Just let me play this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would play games.
Well, maybe play Pong. I'll tell you whatever you want to know.
You will play games till I tell you.
I tend to remember, like, Pong had the wide open ends, and they would call it hockey, and they would have a narrow center hole.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was,
they did that too.
The electronic.
Yep.
Speaking of, let's go ahead and do this. Some of the early arcade games, we all know the pinball machines. That's kind of like a given there. Those were around forever. Early games that were, like, not pinball that we knew. Air hockey is one that comes to mind. And then there was one, it was like had to do with planes attacking, and you were the anti-aircraft missile launcher. And it was like a video stream of the jets, and it would be, they had the little module. It was like a little model, and it had the almost a holograph missile on it that would sort of shoot up there, and the planes would blow up if you happened to hit them or whatever. Remember that game? Those are some of the first non-pinball games that I remember. What say y'all?
Oh, boy.
Well, I remember getting a digital battleship game, the electronic battleship. And now my folks still at the house have got the old battleship game where the father and son are playing and the son, and the dad's wearing the checkered sweater vest and the daughter is diligently washing dishes in the background, you know.
Yeah.
As it should
They've
be.
Got that one.
You sent my battleship.
Right.
But
G4.
When you got the electronic one, you had to program all those things into the deck. So you had to, you know, okay, they own my battleships on an E4, E4, E5, E6. You played that for about 20 minutes, and you're like, hell with this, Santa Claus, and you put that back and you brought the old one back out because it was just too much of a hassle programming everything in. But for a brief moment, you thought you were gonna cast ass because you got the electronic battleship, but it was just too much work. It'll wear you out trying to punch all that in.
Hey, we're pushing the hour, so I'm going to throw this kind of stuff out. What about family board games or family type stuff? The something we only did a wee bit because I never had the extra card table type things, really the space for it, come to think of it. But we used to set up a card table when I was a kid, and that would have one of those gazillion piece puzzles. And sometimes it would be everybody at once, and sometimes it would be individually. Go over there and just try to work on the puzzle. You know, we'd take we always took all the edge pieces out, tried to build the frame, and just work from there. That was just kind of the family MO for that one. But a lot of the classic family games, Monopoly.
Yeah.
That was great.
Life.
I can tell you what we always did is we played, my family always played euchre, like holidays. That's whenever we played games. It was more or less be like Christmas Eve and Christmas and, you know, maybe a couple other handful of times. But my family would play euchre, and I can remember a game called Rummikub. I don't know if anybody knows that one.
Rummikub.
Oh, I know that game. Yeah, that's a fun game.
Yep.
All right, Granny, what was the family game for you guys?
Well, we played a lot of Monopoly. We played Life. We played Sorry.
Yep.
Sorry
was a good one to play.
Yeah, we play that
now. Velvet, you.
Kids love that game.
We did the same stuff, the battleships, the Monopoly, the Sorry, the Life, and all that. But the biggest thing, when my kids got a little older and they got really competitive, it was Uno. That was an every Saturday night thing.
Anna was a good
and
game.
It got ugly at our house.
Yeah, you played full contact Uno. Yeah.
That's where they learned.
Hit him with the chair.
Work.
He changed it to red.
That's exactly what it was.
Dave, how about you guys? Because
well,
I'm going to throw a game out.
Mention Uno. Now, I agree. All the ones you guys have been naming, I could add Parcheesi and Trouble onto those.
Yeah.
Chinese checkers would come out from time to time. But Uno, we started playing Uno when Dad was overseas. And, you know, Todd, you'll back up knowing, you know, being military and everything. Mom's got their hands full when Dad's go overseas because they're trying to do two people's worth of work. And my mom, you know, was always on the ball, didn't want me and my brother getting too far away with Pop being gone. And so she made a conscious effort to sit us all down like, hey, we're going to play this tonight. We're going to play that tonight. So Uno came out, and we immediately, it almost like everything else got dusted, and Uno was every night. So Pop comes back from overseas, and, you know, my dad, God bless him, he's still to this day, he's a one-up guy. You know, don't you ever catch a fish around him because he's going to sit there until he catches one bigger. So, you know, he comes back, and we're whipping his ass in Uno. And he wasn't tickling. Me and my brother, you know, we had the little backup plan. It was like always put the drop fours on the old man, you know. Or reverse, that was another one he used to piss him off, was be his turn next, hit that reverse so it would go back the other way. So, of course, you know, Pop would get bent out of shape. And, you know, that's where we got the term full contact Uno from, because you were risking your life putting a drop four on Pop after a while, man. So, yeah, that was another great one. As a matter of fact, this past Christmas, when the grandkids and all of us got together at that beach house, that's what we did. We sat up drinking and playing Uno together and had the time of our lives. So, that, you know, it's a game that transcends into the next generation. So, yeah, good call, Vild.
Oh, yeah, not bad. I want to throw out another game, but before that, I'll just – something Yuki and I did when we were in Houston is we play chess periodically. And what you do is you put out a shot glass and a couple bottles of beer, and every time you lost a piece, you drank a shot.
Oh, wow.
A beer.
I'll never finish the game, sir.
You were going crazy. But, yeah, your game would go downhill pretty – your game would go downhill.
You think?
But here's one, and I'm surprised it made it all the way around the room. Yahtzee.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
Yahtzee. Jeez. Yep.
I put that on my phone. Yeah.
You know, hearing those dice in the cup.
Oh, absolutely. They're, absolutely. Good call.
In this house, we had another one we really liked was Risk.
Yeah.
That was a good game.
I was going to say that. I was
now, what I came by when I was in Houston because we could only donate for the Toys for Tots, the new unwrapped game stuff. Somebody donated an old Risk game, and it had the old wooden pegs.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah, way cool, because the first time I ever played it, it already had the plastic games.
Yeah.
Mm. And don't forget Clue.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Good one.
Oh, that's pretty good. I remember the first time that really kicked my ass.
There was the one game in our house that nobody – go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dave. You're good.
The only game that we did not play in our house was backgammon. We'd have arguments over it, so that thing stayed in its cage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a ton of checkers tournaments.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here trying to think of the name of the game. I want to say it was Mastermind was the one that it was called, but you'd have the – you had four different color pegs, and on one end you had a little shield up, a little barrier up, and somebody would put in a combination of those four color pegs. It could be like two blue, a green, and a red, or one of each, or, you know, all yellows. And then the person had like 12 chances to guess what was over there. And
oh, God, amateur safe cracking.
Yeah. And you would have to sit there and think. So if you put in, say, a green, a blue, and a red, and then whoever was on that other side would say, you have two right. So you're like, okay, damn, which ones are good? So you'd go back and do something different, and you have one right. Then you know you'd have to go back and change it again. That was another one we used to play quite a bit. But the risk, the nifty thing about Risk is if you get hold of any of the older models of that game, take a look at the map, because the world changes every day, and a lot of countries that were on boards back in the 70s won't be in the boards now.
So I've wondered about that. I'm curious. And that's something just dumb shit that circulates in my little brain housing group, and believe me, there's a bunch of dumb shit that does that. It's not like there's a lot of – in fact, there's so much of that stuff. There's not much room for smart stuff. The what about having a dictionary from every decade, like the last century or so?
Oh wow!
What about having a map?
Alex, the answer is what is a nerd?
The last century anymore. You would have to say last 100.
Did you hear what I
years.
Said?
Yes, I heard you, Velvet.
I said, Alex, the answer is, what is a nerd? Thank you. Have a good day. I'll be here all week.
Hey Velvet?
Yes, I'm sorry.
we could take a play off of the show from Sunday night. What is your issue?
Yeah, right? What is your issue? nerd!
We just came up. That might be a new game show. We were like, we had a funny conversation, and it was just like, I can see that being a new game show. What is your issue? Or in my case, what is your damage?
Yeah, what is
your damage?
But you know, you bring up an
interesting Todd, you kill me, brother.
Is it how many useless globes are out there floating around right now? Because I can tell you that a globe that I had when I was, you know, a teenager. Is probably absolutely useless now just because of the way the world turns.
Well, really, think about all the stuff that was effectively the USSR that and that's a big chunk of the globe, yes, but in many ways, that's only a small portion. That's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, you think about all the Slavic stuff, Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia, and that's not there anymore. I mean, it's there, but it's something different.
Not as we knew it.
Right, right. I mean,
that's
same as some
stand.
Of the old. Yeah, now all those
Sorry.
Stands.
My bad.
There, yeah, the stands are always changing.
Sorry. There's Sorry,
no,
Granny.
No rhyme or reason out that way, but yeah, a lot of those countries. What they call it, the Eastern Bloc or whatever, where you had Georgia and
all those things, yeah.
Croatia, and all those.
And Georgia, by the way, had nothing to do with peaches at that point.
No, totally different. Ray Charles wasn't singing about that one.
All right. Man, swear.
That's funny. I never really thought about that, though. There's got to be a globe recycling plant somewhere here in the United States where you can take an out-of-date globe.
Donald
and maybe that's what I need to do, open up a globe recycling place where you can bring a globe from 10 years ago.
Listen, you'll have a customer for life. Dr. John will be in there every week going, hey, you got this globe here? Can you help me fix it?
What?
It sounds like a worse idea than the jump to conclusions, Matt.
That's funny. That's funny. That's my boy. That's my boy right there. Damn it!
Well, what about this for the recycling of the globe? Just think of the difference of how they were made differently over the years.
Yeah.
They weren't all cardboard at one point. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them were heavier than hell. One I had was old cheap cardboard one.
I'm just saying. That's not helping the nerd case on this side. I get it that I can't even think of it in the crap. But shut up, Velvet. Man.
Sorry, man. You got me going.
You know what? I can't be mad at you on that because I tell you what, shit, and this all started on the damn family board games at home. Holy crap, why didn't we tweak on that earlier? Because I think we're rolling now. Grammy, come in. Pull in some abstract thought to get the heat off of me. Let us blame you for a little while if you don't mind.
They blame me all the time, bro. I'll take the heat.
No, go ahead, Velvet. You take that heat.
I will, baby. I will.
Here we go.
Yeah. Hulkster wants to be a heel, you know.
Hey. Now, let me tell you something, guys. You know, I was sharing this information with Dave before the show, okay? Well, we had a two-day event in Owosso over the weekend for WFC. This was our first show that we've been able to do for a child fighting childhood cancer in over a year due to COVID, right? And this little girl happens to be a cousin to the promoter's wife. Her name is Grayson, and she's like 10 or 11 years old, okay? Well, Saturday after the show was over, they had to call the ambulance because the promoter, Tim Rockwell, he was having chest pains, okay? He ended up having a small heart attack. He had a 90% blockage in his heart. They had to put a stent in Monday. They went ahead and discharged him, so he's home resting. And the first question that his wife immediately asked was, is he still going to be able to wrestle? You know, what about wrestling? Because we all know that's his passion. And the cardiologist says, well, if there's no reason why he can't, he may just have to take some time off. Well, of course, my son, you know how my son has been trying to get me to turn heel for the past year and a half. Well, he had this idea that I need to change my name to Granny Villain to cheer Tim Rockwell up and to help him with his recovery time.
I like it.
And I said, absolutely not. I'm like, no, this is not. No. I said I would break too many people's hearts if I went heel. So I told him this idea. And so he comes back and he's like, ha-ha, like he liked the idea, you know. I said, yeah, can you imagine how much total shock all the WFC fans would be in? And Anthony says, well, Mom, you don't have to do it full-time. Just do it temporary, you know, just till Tim gets back, you know, into the swing of things. And I said, well, you know, that may be a year from now. I said, I'm not being heel for a year. I don't even want to be heel at all. No.
You know what? If you want to find out if you're a heel or not, one of the first things we can do is ask your husband. The other side of things is,
yikes.
Now check this out. Check this out. Somebody's villain is somebody's freedom fighter. Somebody's freedom fighter, somebody's villain. So if you're always cheering the good guys, wouldn't you be a heel to the bad guys?
No, I just give the bad guys lots of grief. I just give the bad guys lots.
Whether you like it or not,
I just give the bad guys lots of grief. I just give them lots of grief. I do them. They tell me to sit down and shut up before I break a hip, or don't
well,
I have
yeah,
a curfew at the nursing
job.
Home?
You are
well, of course they're doing their job.
Guys. I tell you what, Tim's the neutral party here. Tim,
yeah,
if you got somebody booing one side and cheering the other, the side they're booing, they're the heel to them, right?
Man, that's deep, Todd. That's real deep. Deep thoughts.
He's so stupid. I love
Well, Todd, don't ask my husband's opinion because my husband loves to agitate me, so God knows what he would tell you.
Yes, we get it.
There we go. So don't ask the person that's going to give us a heel opinion. Thanks.
Right?
I'm just telling you, my husband, I mean, I love him dearly. I mean, he's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. He is so good to me and Anthony. We will be married 12 years in December. I mean, I wish I would have met this man a lot sooner than I did. But, you know, I mean, I was a single mom for 23 and a half years before David and I got together. And I tell you what, I mean, it's so funny because Anthony will pick on me or David will pick on me. And, you know, I'm one or the other. But when I get them both together in the car with me, oh, my God, I don't stand a chance.
Oh, please.
David said to me one day, I said, this is not pick on mom day. And David says, every day is pick on mom day. He says, it's in the contract.
Oh, wow.
I said, what contract?
Oh.
He said, the contract you signed when you said I do. And I said, well, baby, I said, that works both ways.
Oh my God, I think
that's
my wife signed the contract that said I don't.
No, your wife signed the contract that says that's mine and the other one's in the freezer with the spare.
Well, look, I mean, all I know is basically in her purse, I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's in her purse, yeah. I better not do this joke. Never mind. Never mind. Good Lord. See, y'all got me. All right, I got to do it. What do mechanics and lesbians have in common?
No telling.
I have no idea.
Anybody. Mechanics and lesbians have something in common. What is it?
You
ready?
Got
give
me on this one.
All right, you ready? Here it is. Snap-on tools.
Well, here we go. Since you brought that one up. How do you know that your house is built by lesbian carpenters? All the woodwork is tongue and groove.
The woodwork is what? I missed it.
Tongue and groove.
Oh, my.
Oh, good Lord. I opened Pandora's box.
Yes, you did, Velvet. Yes, you did.
Tree rat.
Up to that point.
I didn't get to hear Velvet. I was tucking the kid in. I didn't get to hear Velvet.
We were keeping a positive mental attitude.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I was in a meeting the other day, and I stated that I'd like to have a positive mental attitude. And somebody pointed out that, yeah, it was 90% mental and 10% attitude.
So who said they missed the punchline on mine?
Tim said he missed the joke. Tim said he missed the joke, Velvet.
Do you miss the whole joke? Okay. I said, what do mechanics and lesbians have in common?
Right.
Snap-on tools. Come on, man. Snap on tools.
Nice. He's dying.
All right.
He's dying.
Poor Tim. Poor Tim's like, all right, what did I just step into? You should have said tree rat. That's a safety word, okay? Safety word for tonight was tree rat, not midget porn. That was last week.
I mentioned to Tim and Dave, Velvet earlier, the My brother this morning, he woke up and he's having fits because there was a ton of overnight snow in the greater Cleveland area. And
yeah.
And I know greater Cleveland is an oxymoron as far as that goes. That was pointed out to me in another meeting.
Okay.
But he's lived in Texas since like 77. So, you know, the idea of 3 inches of snow in late April, last third of April, he's like, he's pretty much on the edge of expletives as it is. And he goes, hey, on the newscast, I heard that in 1907 in late May, they had a snowstorm. And so me being me, and since a series of messages were between he, myself, and our other brother, John, we were like, I was like, hey, do you remember? He's the oldest one of us still alive. I go, hey, do you remember how much snow fell that day? All I got was an emoji back with an angry face and a bunch of the little swear word thing showing up. That's the way that one works, man. You always you bug people on that stuff. All right, team, we are at 21 after.
Whoop, whoop.
I think we're here for the roundtable. Dave, is your phone working? Diamond Dave.
Yeah, I am up and running. Everything is good. I've actually gone 20 solid minutes without something going to hell. So,
yay!
Okay, well, yay. Actually, I was going to have you do your first. You be first, since we're doing
you
that, you know. If you want to make your, you know, announce anything, give some dibs to somebody, that kind of stuff, give some love, Dave.
Dave.
Just the usual thing about trying to do good for folks. I know there's a lot of bad things going on, and
absolutely,
folks sometimes try to get into fights that they don't belong into. Well, if you got that kind of energy, by God, go somewhere else. Just try to find, focus that energy on doing good for folks, and things will get better quicker. Other than that, Granny Hulkster, speaking of your heel turn, just remember this. If you are an Imperial Stormtrooper, Luke Skywalker is a terrorist.
Granny loves it. I mean, I try to love everybody, you know, even, I mean, and the, I can tell the bad guys that they even
don't want
to admit it.
Hang that up.
Well, apparently those 23 years of being a single mom weren't that bad then.
Oh, all right. Now, look here. If you get her started up, man, I'm going to have to say the safety word 100 times. Come on, man.
The safety word.
Tree rat.
No, I just want to give well wishes to my friend Tim Rockwell. Like I said, he suffered that heart attack. Thank goodness it wasn't very bad. Thank goodness, you know, and he's feeling a lot better. And, you know, they got rid of, when they put the stent in, all the blockage, you know, disappeared. So prayers for him,
awesome.
His family, because his mom, she'd been fighting cancer, and she was in remission, and they found a tumor in her leg the other day, and now that tumor is cancerous. So she's fighting cancer again for the second time. So he's had a lot on his plate, basically, you know, dealing with his mom, the company, you know, COVID almost having to stop his shows altogether. I mean, you know, he's been going through a lot. So well wishes to Tim Rockwell and his family, you know, prayers for him and his family. So
hear, hear.
Absolutely.
Mr. Tim.
That's my dog. That's my dog.
I don't have much to close out. I just have, you know, kind of like just reiterate what's already been said. Heart goes out to everybody who's seems like we all have a little bit going on right now. So, you know, everyone's in my thoughts and prayers. And like Todd always says, this is the second time I've stole the line from him. Stay safe. But I'm
– Yep, yep.
But that's all I can say. Springtime's around the corner. I'm looking forward to the warm weather for it to be here permanently. And I've had a good time tonight. I liked the conversation.
Yeah.
It was I could get involved in. So
exactly.
But, it's been great. On to the next one.
Yay. Is it my turn?
It's your turn,
Bella. We're about to get to that, but I'm dumbfounded here because you guys have rocked it with the shorter ones. If I would have said we had 5 minutes and we needed short closing things, we'd have been running 10 minutes over. Tonight we're rocking. We're only at 26 after. Velvet, all yours, good sir.
Yeah, man. Everybody just do what you got to do and get your feet on the ground every day and just get going. It's a new day. Let's rock it. I'm working on Carolina Wrestling Hall of Fame May 15th. 8 people are going into the Hall of Fame. I'm not going to name them all, but you can look at my stuff on Facebook. It's on there. And then at the Cancer Center, I rang the bell Tuesday for a second time after radiation. But I'm going to start a support group to people who are battling cancer because they don't have one at the place I go. So people have been asking me all kind of stuff. Why am I so happy and this and that? And I told them my story, and they all cry. I'm like, don't cry. I'm still here. You know, let's laugh. So I'm going to do that to bring these people, you know, it's not a death sentence yet. You know, you got to keep fighting. You got to keep standing up. You got to keep living your life. You know, don't let it control you. You know, so I'm going to work on that. And as always, pro wrestling interviews on Sunday night. When I'm there, I've been there last weekend. I missed a couple weekends, but you know, when I feel better, I can do it. Other than that, man, love you guys. I love Pop Culture Stars immensely. I love hanging out with y'all. Can't wait to meet everybody at some point. That'd be great. But yeah, it's awesome. Thanks, Todd.
Prayers, brother.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we
Tim's
love you, Velvet.
Dog.
You know that. The,
I know.
Oh, I know. You know what? The amazing part of you is the humility. It goes
with the
I know comment.
You got to get it, man. You got to just be yourself. And, you know, when you have – if you ever have a life-changing event and you take a step back and you look and think, daggummit, it puts everything in perspective real quick. And then you just got to do what you got to do at this point, you know. And me, I want to laugh every day. I don't care if I feel like I can't breathe, can't eat. I'm still going to laugh. I'm still going to get my feet on the floor, and I'm still going to get up. So, you know, that's the point. Everybody should, you know, be thankful. You know, one thing we don't do, I try to do now, is be thankful that I woke up and I'm still here. You know, in the morning, I always try to take a minute and say, thanks, I'm still here. All right, let's rock the day. Let's go. And no matter what happens, like I had a crappy day, but, you know, I still rocked it out and got home and then took a shower, ate, and then was on this. So, yeah, tomorrow might be better. We'll see.
Yep, and everybody's grateful about you taking the shower, no doubt.
My family is.
You definitely stole a ton of the thunder here. The look, I know I always say stay safe. I'd like to try to shift it to stay smart. I'm a big fan of leading by example. Try to do those little things. You know what? Don't let everything overwhelm you. And I get my ass kicked every day. I feel overwhelmed at work, stuff like that. But like Velvet said, you try to find that moment to laugh, those little things.
Exactly.
Find those little gifts in the day. It was interesting. I said I had to send some late meeting invites out that the teams I represent got, are going to get dragged into on Friday, whether they like it or not. I can't change that. But the person I was talking with,
no, wait a minute.
I stepped out to have a cigarette. Yeah, I got to have it. And I looked over in the neighbor's yard, and I saw this big red blossom. I'm walking over there to check it out while I'm talking on the phone, and she reminded me that it was her birthday. I immediately took a picture of the flower and sent it. It wasn't much, but it was a way to send flowers to someone on their birthday.
Yeah.
It wasn't the biggest thing in the world, but it's those little things. And maybe if we do some of those little things, they will friggin' add up. And speaking of little things and the board games and whatnot, pick up sticks, just saying. just to try to bring things back full circle. Diamond Dave, it's all yours. We actually ended up going a minute over. We're plus over here.
Well, that's quite all right. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go in there and cue in the British lady, and then I'm going to go break out the old Twister mat and see if my lovely wife's willing to play. Probably
baby oil, baby oil,
first
baby
of all,
oil.
Wait, wait. First of all,
you're gonna
don't
up,
hurt yourself.
You're gonna end up at the
hospital. Know your
or the
age.
Bed.
Right. Know your age and limitations, because women, even when they're older, are still more flexible than you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I have no flexibility, but I'm more than willing to lose. How's that?
Okay. Yeah, I get it. And I'm with me. That's right. You got it. You know. Oh, honey, I can't read. Oh, I fell down.
When I was younger, it was baby oil. Now at this age, oh, it's absorbing junior.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, it's called Epsom
either that
salt.
Or you just
got to go lay in the bath.
You just fall over and somebody throws you a pillow and you spend the night there until the next morning. You
on
know?
The floor, right? Correct. How's your back feel? I don't know yet. I can't move.
I can't move.
Oh, no.
I can't get up.
You know the wife would just leave me there.
Oh, they,
well,
they would
with
leave
everything
they would leave
being
right
said,
there. Yep.
Great show tonight, guys. And
yes,
we thank everybody for listening to Pop Culture Stars. And hope everybody stays safe. And we will see you or hear you again next Wednesday, 2100 hours. Spectrum Internet willing. And we will see you guys. That's an inside joke. See you guys soon. Thanks
all
for
right.
listening to Pop Culture Stars. Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys. Great
good night,
show.
Everybody.
Big hugs all.